Hi, all my health-loving friends. Welcome to the Lifestyle Therapies podcast, where we discuss things to help you physically, mentally, or emotionally feel even better. This is your host, Sydney Brom, and today's podcast is on releasing trapped emotions.
Lifestyle Therapies with your host, Sydney Brom.
So, I don't know about you, but it seems like most people, if not everyone, has had the experience where sometimes they have a really strong emotion, but they can't quite put their finger on why they feel that way or where that came from. Or maybe there's a situation where they would expect to have emotions, but the emotions they have are just disproportionate to the situation. And that can be a little confusing, and then you have to deal with it. So emotions are really, really powerful. They can override thought and they create immediate physical responses in the body. They can help us to feel fantastic and motivate us and help us succeed. And they can also make us feel terrible and shut us down and contribute to chronic illness or well-being. So either way, emotions are very, very strong. And because of the strength of emotions, we can tend to trap them. Just organically, instinctively, like breathing, we can naturally trap them. So before I get into trapping them, I want to touch on that elephant in the room of, oh my gosh, she's talking about emotions, and especially in relation to men. Because unfortunately, in most societies, but certainly in American society today, men have a very small list of emotions that they are allowed to express, allowed to feel, and smaller list of the ways in which they are allowed to express them. And men are not born handicapped. You guys are born with a full spectrum of emotions, just like a woman, just like anyone else. Emotions are not gendered. They are not male or female. They just are. You feel driven, you feel elated, you feel down, you feel overwhelmed. These are all just emotions. There is no gender to them. So I want you to try to think a little bit differently and to try to throw away any of these social stereotypes that honestly handicap you, because emotions are extremely powerful. And so rather than looking at them as something that, oh, you're not supposed to have, or it's associated with some gender thing. No. It's how can you recognize the emotion for what it is and harness it and use it for the power that it's there for. The more tools you have in your toolbox, the better, right? You don't want to have like a coat hanger and a butter knife in your toolbox and that's it. You want to have as many power tools as possible, and emotions are powerful. Emotions can change everything. For the good or for the bad. And so we want to learn, you know, like Superman can fly, that's all great, unless he doesn't know how to steer or land, right? So we want to learn how to recognize and utilize these emotions in a way that's for our best purpose and our best existence, so that we can have as much of the positive ones as we want, and we can have the motivation that we need when we want. So that said, let's talk about what this trapped emotion thing is. So instinctively, we can trap emotions as a shield or a protection for ourselves. You know, if I'm tender-hearted, for example, hopefully I'm at least a little bit tender-hearted, but let's say I am tender-hearted for sure, and I don't want to get hurt. If I get myself a little attitude, I'm a lot less likely to be hurt, right? Because I'm sporting an attitude. Because that's what I want, to protect myself from getting emotionally hurt. Physically, sometimes we get a little attitude to help us to physically protect ourselves as well. And so this can be very useful. But when we trap emotions, it's like putting on armor. And if we put on armor and we had our situation, our little mini quote-unquote battle for the day, and we never took the armor off, and then we had a different battle a different day, and another one a different day, and another one another day. Pretty soon, we have so much armor on that we can barely function. And it's interfering, and it's no longer helping. it's interfering with our ability to get done what we want to. And instead of it working with us and motivating us or protecting us and helping us, it's baggage and it's making it harder. And how do we trap emotions? Some of it, we don't know. It just organically happens. But some of it is handed down through the DNA. And this is very interesting because we can have up to 3 generations of emotions that were handed down. And for some of us, if we have an ancestor that was in a war or went through something really traumatic, that can all be handed down to us. And then we can be trying to function with emotions that don't make sense and they don't serve us for our environment and our lifetime right now. Sometimes they do, and that's great. And that's why Mother Nature does that and hands those things down. But when it's not great and it's not helping and it's working against us, we want to be able to let those go. If it's causing a chronic physical pain, physical problem, we definitely want to be able to let those go. So there was a research done on trapped emotions. In this case, it was fear. Fear was the emotion. And I don't know who came up with this study, but it's kind of a gruesome and cruel study. So let me just apologize right now. I'm going to be explaining this. And it's interesting, but it's also, if you kind of step back, it's like, ooh, who thought of that? That's terrible. So they took these giant mice eating spiders. Okay, that's in and of itself. Wow, giant mice eating spiders. And they defanged them so they can hurt the mice, but then they're still hungry. So this is kind of cruel to the spiders, but this is what they did. And they put the mice in with the spiders, and the spider is hungry and it's attacking the mouse with the intent to kill it. And it's mauling it, and the mouse is terrified, but the spider is unable to puncture it with its fangs and do its thing because they took the fangs out. So spider is now traumatized. They didn't really study that. They studied the mice. The mice were definitely traumatized. So what happened was the mice were absolutely terrified of spiders, and up to 3 generations after. So 3 generations after, they would expose a mouse to a spider. They'd never seen a spider, never had a bad experience with a spider, and the mouse would be absolutely terrified of the spider until about 3 generations after it kind of wore off. And it's like, okay, maybe we don't need this for our environment to survive anymore. So the same thing happens with people. People come from nature, and we need to know things in our environment to help protect us as well. As parents, we teach our children, and having been children, sometimes we have things that we've learned that we remember our parents teaching us, be careful of this. And that was all from their own experiences and lessons that they learned. And so they're trying to pass that down. So if I'm in a normal, peaceful environment, and I have an ancestor within that 3 generations that went through, let's say, Desert Storm, that went through World War II, that's going to be some serious experiences that they had that would have generated some hardcore emotions that would have been handed down to me through my DNA. So the question is, if I'm living in a peaceful, healthy, normal environment, is that helping me right now? Or is it interfering with me reaching my goals because I'm overly afraid or overly uncomfortable in situations that I need to be in to succeed in my career? Then it's going to be a problem. So we have a method of releasing trapped emotions, and we use muscle testing. So a fascinating thing to me about muscle testing is if your mind is clear and you're focused and you're able to do it properly, muscle testing is extremely accurate. And that's just a form of testing the muscles. It's strong for yes, weak for no. You can ask as many yes, no questions as you want. If it's something that the body or the subconscious knows, you can find out as long as you put it in yes, no. So the reason for that is our midbrain and our entire body has to be, all the little cells and all the nerves communicating with one another have to be 100% honest, or you would be dead. If the heart cells were not giving the accurate numbers to the kidney cells of what's going on with the blood pressure, there's going to be a problem and you would be dead. So muscle testing, if done appropriately, can be extremely accurate and extremely helpful. So we use muscle testing to identify if you have any trapped emotions that are interfering with your ability to function. And we can do it in general, just like, do you have any that you're ready to let go of right now that are not helping you, that are just extra baggage? Or we can do it with something specific. If you have a challenge that you're facing, we can test with something specific. And the beauty about it is the body is very logical and very straightforward and simple. So it'll tell you yes or no, and that's it. And then typically, if they're ready to be released, they're ready to be released. On some occasions, your subconscious mind will want your conscious mind to be aware of certain components for your growth and progress before it's willing to release that trapped emotion. And so you'll muscle test those out. But you don't have to go super deep into the gritty, gory details of anything to be able to let things go. And that is such a relief. That makes it a really simple and relatively quick process. So the longest part of the process is doing the muscle testing and identifying everything that's ready to be released. And then we do the release. And so the release, we're using a magnet and we are putting that over one of your energy meridians in the body and using a technique to be able to release that trapped emotion so that you can feel immediate relief and have a shift inside to make it easier for you to accomplish what it is that you want to accomplish. So super exciting, and I use this in the practice a lot as a form of stress relief. It can be wonderful. First responders in particular are so compassionate, and a lot of times they'll deal with more trauma in one day than some person will see in their whole life. So not only can they have a lot of their own stuff get built up, but they can pick up and trap emotions from other people sometimes people they didn't really want to, but it's a way for them to protect themselves and to contain the situation to be able to be safe and to function. So later we got to do something to discharge some of those and let those go. And then over 70%, it's estimated, of obese people, because I deal with a lot of weight loss, diabetes, any lifestyle related disease. That's why we call it lifestyle therapies, right? So any lifestyle-related disease can have stuff attached to it as well, but stress relief is a huge component. And people that are obese as a lifestyle-related disease, or a component of their lifestyle-related disease, an estimated 70% of those have early childhood trauma. And they can have generational trauma as well, because sometimes the way that they were raised was because their parents were raised that way, or their parents did better than their parents' parents. But it still has a ways to go to improve. And so if there was enough dysfunction in their family, they had enough challenges, that's one of the underlying things that has contributed to their obesity. And so releasing any trapped emotions that they are no longer using or that are no longer serving them can really make it a lot easier to be able to lose their weight. So a little example of this is when I was learning about this and I was having the trapped emotion release performed on me, I noticed that I would get just extra tense in the evening, and when I would go, you know, I'd end up in the kitchen getting a late night snack. And I can't tell you how many people that I hear this from, but everybody has their different reasons and their different things, and some of them are biochemical. Well, apparently in my case, it was emotional. Because I noticed that I had a particular feeling, and I'm like, this makes no sense to me whatsoever at all. So what the heck is this? And so I went in and I had the muscle testing done to see if I had trapped emotions that were contributing to this nighttime snacking issue. And my body said, yeah, you do. Duh. So we went through that. And what I was really surprised about was how many of those emotions were actually inherited. And then as I went through what the emotions were and the fact that they were inherited, it was really interesting. There was one example that was just wishy-washy. I was like, what? This doesn't even make sense. How can you be wishy-washy about food or whatever? But what's common that happens for a lot of people is they'll get an image or they'll get a strong enough sense of the emotion that they know what it goes to. And that's what happened to me as we were doing that release. I realized that a lot of the female ancestry that I have went through the Great Depression, and three generations back was a completely different era, completely different expectations of the female physique. And they were worried about, you know, is somebody going to like me or not? if I get too thin? And are they going to think I'm poor if I'm too thin? These types of things, because of all the issues surrounding food with the scarcity during the Great Depression. And I was like, oh my gosh, I hadn't even thought about that and how that would contribute to my own challenges. And weird as heck, one of my favorite things, one of my clients says, oh, you know, when I first heard about this and I came in, I thought, this sounds a little hokey pokey. So we did it. She came back a week later and she says, okay, you know, when I left, you know, I experienced it, it was all good. And I thought, yeah, sounds a little hokey pokey. But as it turns out, hokey pokey is no jokey. So she just put a smile on my face. It cracked me up. But what happened for her was similar to what happened for me, in that the challenge that she was facing got easier and she was able to make a shift after she had been stuck for months and make some positive changes and start to have the improvements that she was looking for. Now for myself, I can still go to the kitchen and nighttime snack, you know, but it's a choice and it's a lot easier for me not to without that strong emotion interfering. And it's been months now and it stuck. It got better and that's it. So this is something that I was excited about. And again, it's relatively simple. It's non-invasive. It's non-invasive both physically but also emotionally. You don't have to get in this big knockdown drag out talking about really painful or uncomfortable experiences. We just ask the body, are you ready to let it go? Are you not? It's pretty simple. So it's just a wonderful tool to be able to help people to feel better and to have more room for new and fresh and positive emotions and to live your life for your life now and not in relation to generations of emotions that were trapped that may not be serving you. So I would love to see you guys feel better, and hopefully that tells you what you need to know about releasing trapped emotions.
Lifestyle Therapies with your host, Sydney Braun.